So both of these guys are saying that these elections are what? There's going to be a whole bunch of cheating going on in this election.
Okay, there's lots of votes which haven't been counted, or at least that's what the politicians themselves are saying.
This is the most fraudulent elections in America's history.
The country has never been so divided.
These are the same guys who are going to go on tomorrow when the results are announced and say, oh, well, I accept the results.
Assalamu alaikum, dear viewers. This is the Islamic Pulse talk show. I'm your host, Muzaffar Haider. We'd like to start by congratulating you on behalf of the leader of the Islamic Revolution and on our behalf as well on the auspicious occasion of the birth anniversary of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Here in the studio today, we have with us Sayyid Shahriyar and Sheikh Ali. Assalamu alaikum to both of you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you.
It's great to have you. And we're going to be discussing some really, really current things. The leader recently gave a speech and it was like he was giving bullet points. The pace is really quickening, guys. We are steadily but surely moving in the direction of the dhuhur of Imam al-Hujja al-Qa'im al-Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajah al-Sharif. Now, we'd like to open the discussion about the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi and about his qualities and the traits about him. I think I'm going this way first, Sheikh.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan al-a'in al-rajim, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Holy Prophet and Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam, according to narrations, both were born on the same date.
That's right. Yeah.
So congratulations to you, to all the believers out there, to the viewers, and to the scholars of Islam. And in fact, if you look at the entire humanity, they deserve to be congratulated on this occasion, because the Prophet was the Prophet of mercy. The Prophet was a Prophet of guidance for the entire mankind.
Right.
So alhamdulillah, you know, we're here celebrating the birth anniversary of Prophet and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, and congratulations to all. And got a lot to say, but you know.
Right. No. I'm eager to get into the discussion because the leaders talked about so many different things and we are going to go through them. But yeah, no, you've highlighted really, the Quran actually highlights for us that he is rahmatul lil alameen, he is the mercy for the worlds, and it really is a great occasion for us. Sayyid, any opening statements?
Yes, of course. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Again, I also extend our congratulations to all the believers, all the scholars, all the viewers out there. On the blessed occasion of the birth of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household, and Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam, and looking forward to the discussion with you brothers.
Now, I'd like to open up another discussion now, which is what the leader actually alludes to in this speech. And he talks about the elections going on, another very hot topic at the moment. Okay, Sheikh, I'd like to take it to you.
American liberal democracy at its best. This is what we're looking at, right? Trump says, and I read, this is the most fraudulent elections in America's history. Who says this? Trump. And who is Trump? Someone who is conducting these elections.
He's overseeing.
It's his administration, right?
Yeah.
He says it's the most fraudulent elections in America's history. And Biden comes around and says, Trump has the intention to commit widespread cheating. These are the words of people who are going to rule over this nation called America and this country called America. And they are going to be making decisions, considering their position in the world, for other countries and other nations too.
Yeah.
Because there's a very funny paradox I just thought of right now, right? Based upon what you just said, the quotes of these two guys. So both Donald Trump and Joseph Biden, right? They say Joe Biden, his name is Joseph. Mm-hmm. Joseph Biden. So both of these guys are saying that these elections are what? There's going to be a whole bunch of cheating going on in this election. Now, these are the same guys, paradox, right? Irony of the world or fate. These are the same guys who are going to go on tomorrow when the results are announced and say, oh, well, I accept the results if, you know, right? So Donald Trump is going to say, I won, I accept the results.
At the end of the day, either one of them has to accept it, right?
They're going to accept the results if they're the ones who win. But before this, they've already said that this is the most fraudulent elections in our history. How do you expect
it's fraudulent if the other guy wins.
American people, How do you expect the American people themselves to accept the election results when you have already started to say they're going to be the most fraudulent elections in our history?
Yeah, see, when the akhlaqi principles are taken away from politics, this is what gets left.
Yeah, these ethical, moral, spiritual, right,
all of principles. Those dimensions have been subtracted from the liberal democracy, right? And the results you're seeing with your own eyes, right? It's interesting how things are going to pan out, because if you remember last elections, the popular votes were with Hillary.
Yes.
And then Trump ended being the president, right? This time around, because of the electoral votes and stuff, right? This year, let's see how it pans out. It's going to be interesting. I don't think the results are out yet, right? I've not been really following.
Well, look, it's very interesting because ballot boxes have been burnt. Okay, there's lots of votes which haven't been counted, or at least that's what the politicians themselves are saying. And the country has never been so divided. I'm actually feeling scared for the people of America, and I'm actually worried for them. Like, because the country, there are fresh riots now, and the riot police have been called in, the National Guard's been called in. So it's dark. I mean, it's a dark day for liberal democracy, and that's good for us because we get to expose it. We get to show that, look, see, it's not.
I think it's exposing itself, right? I don't think there's anything we need to do, so to speak, actually, right?
Yeah, and see, here's what's interesting. For example, I don't know if you guys remember before the election day, if you guys watched the debates between Joseph Biden and Donald Trump, right? I mean, it was a laughingstock. Everywhere across the media, it was just a laughingstock. That what is wrong with these guys, you know? That this
personal
is
personal attacks.
These are supposed to be the leaders of world governments, of national governments. These are supposed to be. This is what you consider, you know. I mean, when you elect somebody to be a president, you want them to be the best, you know.
Yeah.
This is clearly not the best that the American
people
can
it's
put forth.
It's scary to see these types of irresponsible people. I'm not just talking about Trump. Mm. They all are equally irresponsible. Some are better at hiding it. They ruling the world and making decisions which country are they going to bomb next.
Okay, so this is one of the interesting points that the leader raises. He says that, look, it's actually worse than Fir'aun. We describe America as Fir'aun, as the Pharaoh. But it's actually worse because Pharaoh had dominion over Egypt, whereas America actually has dominion over
the
world.
He makes this very point in this very speech, and it's a very thought-provocative point, and I was thinking more about it just a while ago. He says that, you know, at the end of the day, Pharaoh, his control, his authority, his dominion was Egypt. He didn't go beyond that, right? He just kept it limited, or it stayed limited. Today, in today's world, the world has become this global village, right? This melting pot, right? Everything is connected. And these guys are making decisions for other countries, especially the third world countries. The countries who do not stand up against the United States of America and tell them, hey, who are you to make decisions on our behalf? You know, because they know that if somebody does that, then they have to pay the price, like we see in the case of Iran.
Right.
The Islamic Republic decided that, nope, we are going to make our own decisions. Shah is gone, your puppet is gone, your game is over in this country. And that made them angry.
Very angry.
Because of that anger, because of losing that authority and control, they are making Iran pay the price in different forms and shapes, which we don't have time to get into. Sanctions being one of them, right?
Well, I wanted to just actually raise this question because lots of people, a lot of the youths have actually asked about voting in America and, you know, who should we vote for? And I'm not sure exactly how to...
See, this is where I think the best way to understand this is that how is the Islamic Republic, and we're so concerned about the system of wilaya more than the government of Iran. We don't really have... I actually personally don't follow too much what the government officials are doing or saying, you know, the foreign minister and all that. What we're concerned about is what our religious authority, what Imam Khamenei is saying, right? How does he look at this whole system of the United States of America? Yeah. It's a tricky question to answer in a yes and no for some people. You know, I have my own biases too, but I'm not going to spell it out here. Mm-hmm. It's pointless, right? Who am I? Mm-hmm. Let's look at the leader. How does he look at the system of the United States of America? In this election, he says, whoever gets voted in, a face change, it doesn't make any difference.
This is what he said
to
last
our
time.
Policy. Last time around too, right?
2016, same thing. Yeah.
What is he trying to say here? Very clearly, he says that it does not matter, guys. It's the system. It's not the person. It's not a party. It's the system.
Yeah, yeah.
The policies that are defined at the level of the system.
I am amazed. I'm honest. After all of this, this year has been a catastrophe for everybody. Everybody is like, what happened this year? 2020 has been strange. But even after everything that we've gone through, there are still people who have hopes in Biden.
This is hilarious, right? And this is shallowness, unfortunately, because these topics don't get talked about. So on one hand, the leader is saying it's the system that is the problem, right? We don't care who gets elected. At the end of the day, this system is the issue, right? And then on the other hand, he exposes the system of the United States of America, the system of imperialism, the system of arrogance, the system of treachery, the system of, you know, bullying other countries and other nations. This whole system is whacked, right? So connect the dots. The system is the problem. The system is bad to a point that he says that it is an evil system, right? Evil. Mm-hmm. Now, what I'm hearing you say is like, okay, some people believe that, you know, we're going to get into this evil system and make amends to help mankind and humanity, local Americans or foreigners living there, or even, you know, other nations. This is just, you can't really add it up.
Yeah, there's some even Muslims who are saying, you know, Bernie Sanders, he's going to save the day. And he's like,
yeah, وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ. This is important, right? When you recognize that some establishment, some government, and I'm not talking about, you know, Sanders' government or Biden's government or Trump's government or Clinton's government. No,
it's all Tawgut.
I'm talking about the system of Tawgut. Once you recognize that it is America, where the leader clearly says it's the Fir'aun of today, right? In our, if we were to use like our terminologies too, like it's the Yazid of today. What are you going to do with Yazid?
What, so you're going to vote for a different governor, but they're both under Yazid. You're not that's voting system, for Yazid himself. Right. Yazid is still there.
It's you're the policies of the system that actually killed Shahid Qasem Soleimani. Mm. It was not just Trump. Trump is a puppet, right? A government.
Now, the Quran says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Surely there is in the Prophet a perfect pattern or a perfect example. And we learn so many akhlaqi points, which unfortunately we can talk about the Prophet all day, and I'd love to one day, inshallah. We don't have time. But we see this one-sided approach when it comes to the personality of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, where people say, you know, he has this akhlaq and he has this pure, you know, way to talk to people. He was very, you know, he was kind to humanity. He guided people through talking to them, you know, through helping the orphans, through helping the poor, through getting the oppressed masses and helping them to empower them. Now, as well as that, in the ahadith and in the Quran, we see so many acts, so many calls towards fighting against the kuffar, fighting against the disbelievers or against the enemies of Islam. And so how do you reconcile these two points? And I think I'll go this way first and then we'll come back to Sheikh and I think we'll end.
No, you can go ahead, start with him.
Okay, I'll come this way, then I will come back this way.
It's all right.
It's an interesting topic which needs a lot of elaboration, and since you're tight on time, we're not going to go into too many details, but we'll touch up on the topic to the adequate depth, inshallah, if Allah helps us. Okay. See, all the verses in Quran that have, you see, you know, that have to do with qital, right, which is, you know, fighting and killing, you know, the physical fight, right? You have to look at, number one, the context, right? If you look, you know, when people were not hostile against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't tell people to go and, you know, go kill them. No, this is not, nobody in the right state of mind would do that, right? And we're talking Quran, not about Rasulullah. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those verses, they came when he was pushed against the wall.
Mm. Right.
When they made sure that, you know, he doesn't have like any room to breathe, right, then you're not left with any other choice. If you look at international law today, right, you have the right to defend as an individual. Right. A country has a right to defend as a country, right? At the same time, you know, when you attack Islam, Muslims have a right to defend being Muslims, right? At that time, Rasulullah also had a right to defend when there are mushrikeen who are conspiring against him, who are trying to kill him, who are trying to snub his movement, who are trying to, you know,
They're
oppressing their people, starving their people.
Yes, and throwing them in jails and dungeons, right? And all of that stuff is going on against believers. What are you supposed to do? Give your other cheek? You're supposed to do, look, no, it's all about love, it's all about peace. No, you have to defend yourself. You have to defend those babies who are just being massacred before being born in the stomach of their mothers. Their narrations, go read history, right? Just because they were Muslims, their tummies were being, you know, split open and their babies were being killed like this. So what do? You don't defend? You don't defend the oppressed? Islam is neither the religion of peace nor is the religion of war. Islam is a religion of your duty and responsibility towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right?
Whether
Allah has commanded us to defend the oppressed. Right? That's one point. The second point is, when it comes to kuffar, right, there are, and in this speech, interestingly,
disbelievers. It's often translated as disbelievers.
Right. And let's stick with this Zahir translation of disbeliever or non-Muslim, right? Somebody who's not a Muslim, we call them kuffar, right, or kafir. In this very speech, the leader, he recited the verses of Quran that I didn't bring with me, but he says that Rasulullah had a soft corner towards these kuffar. And then in another verse of Quran, he is commanded to fight against kuffar. So the leader actually reconciled it for us. He said that those kuffar that he is commanded to fight against are the ringleaders of the mushrikeen who were attacking Muslims and who were being hostile against Islam.
Yeah, they were being hostile through physical.
When you look at the normal, general, non-Muslims, you know, we guide them, we give them the guidance. And this is where the akhlaq of Rasulullah was, you know, so famous that there are hundreds and thousands of books written even by non-Muslims. He was so loving and caring for human beings, not just for Muslims. But when there are those notorious elements, right, who are conspiring against humanity, who are conspiring against Muslims, who are conspiring against every other innocent and oppressed person, what do? You defend them. And that's where you fight against those kuffar. You don't just chicken out and taking a shelter of, oh, I'm so, you know, good in my akhlaq and I'm so good. No, you have a responsibility to play here.
I want to give a hadith, with your permission, Sheikh, with your permission, Sheikh. So there was this person, they were throwing garbage at the Prophet. Whenever he would go through the street, they would throw all this rubbish on the Holy Prophet. It would land on him and, you know, it would try in an attempt to humiliate the Prophet. One day that person feels sick, he falls ill. So the Holy Prophet goes and visits him with a gift, gives it to him. And that person became a Muslim through seeing this act of kindness and seeing.
History is filled with, such incidents.
Now,
there are too many of them.
This person, they were kafir, but they were not kafir harbi. They were not a kafir who wants to, you know, they were actively fighting against Islam and attacking Muslims. No. But then on the other side, you see, for example, the ringleaders of Quraysh who were out, armed, and they were coming to kill the Muslim men, women, and children. At that point, the Holy Prophet...
Quran calls them A'immatul Kufr, right? This is in Quran, that they are the leaders of Kufr, right? They're not just average kafir, a non-Muslim, no. They're the ones who are actively working against and harming the oppressed people and the general public, right? Right. Another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَقَاتِلُوا أَئِمَّةُ الْكُفْرِ. See, he didn't say kufr or kafir, right?
Yeah,
أَئِمَّةُ, that the leaders of kufr, right?
Fight the leaders of kufr.
These are the ones who you fight. The others, you just guide. They're just normal human beings.
Before we say any thoughts on that? You seem to be deep in thought.
Yes, I'm deep in thought, but that's about it.
You're holding it in.
there are a few points, but they're related to something else, so we'll have to save it for another show, I think.
Okay, no worries.
Well, I think it's a discussion that needs a independent talk show, which we can expand on different verses of Quran that were coming to my mind, ahadiths that were coming to my mind, you know, where we have been commanded to be the support of the oppressed. How do you become a support of the oppressed? You know, how are you going to, sit down on table with the Zionist regime that you have tried for decades and decades, and they don't stop killing the innocent people. What do you do with them? Right?
Yeah, the Holy Quran, in regards to the personality, the sacred personality of the Holy Prophet, tells us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. Surely Allah and His angels send blessings upon the Prophet. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. O you who believe, send your blessings upon the Prophet, an appropriate blessing. Now, any closing statements? We're going to end the show, but I think that there might be some. Nope.
I think there are quite a few things that can be said. I would like Sayyid to make a.
Sure. I mean, you know, I'll on my behalf. I think we talked about a whole range of different things, right? And sometimes you might have to watch the episode 4 or 5 times to keep track of what everything was going on.
Yeah, sorry, I know that the pace was a little bit fast, but...
Yeah, and I think one of the things that viewers need to understand is that these are very vast ideas, they're vast concepts, subjects that really need to be talked about in detail. So what I'm saying is, one is go ahead and feel free to comment on our sections and tell us some subjects that are interesting that we need to talk, we need to discuss. And that's about it. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
That's all we have time for today. We hope that you enjoyed and benefited from the show. As Sayyid pointed out, please do feel free to leave a comment and give us your suggestions if you'd like us to address any of the subjects that you have on your mind. From myself, from Sayyid Shahriar, and from Sheikh Ali, we bid you Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.